Today on Real Life Radio.
They have gone through life's ringer and come out the other side knowing God never let them down, God never failed them, and they have joy because he has kept them all the way through it. And they know it. Nothing shakes them anymore. And so when something happens in life, they just don't seem to be worried. You think there's something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them. They have joy.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 3, begins in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, with verses 1 through 3. In these first few verses, Paul reminds the Philippians to keep rejoicing in the Lord and warns of those in the church who do not belong to Christ. True joy is linked to the unshakable and unchanging truth of the Bible. It's measured out to us in direct correlation with how much exposure we give ourselves to God's Word. And when we not only believe what the Scriptures say, but have an understanding of its meaning, joy will fill our lives. The point is, the telltale sign of an enemy among us is their lack of and loss of spiritual joy. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that for the true Christian, combat faith will become our reality. It's having joy in the face of our enemies, and a joy that is on alert means to rejoice in the Lord and nothing else, because he is unmoved in the presence of evil and always in control of every situation. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Father, just you're the one that's in charge, and you're in charge of this moment. You're in charge of our hearts and our lives. We love you, God. You are the presider over not only the environment, but you are the presider, Lord, over time and eternity. And we ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would instruct us more and more in your precious truth, because it is your word that gives us life. So, Lord, we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to, listen, Philippians chapter 3. We've made it. Yes. Philippians chapter 3, brand new chapter, same title. Same title we're looking at today, Friends and Foes in the Fellowship. But now we're in Philippians chapter 3. Why not a title change? Well, you may or may not be aware of the fact that when the Bible was authored, there were no chapter breaks. There were no verse references. Those chapter breaks and verse references were put there by the King James translators for easy reference. That's a great idea. You would have never known when chapter 2 began or ended or when chapter 3 began or ended. And in their attempt, now remember, your Bible is the inspired Word of God. The chapter breaks are not. Those are put there by men. And they were brilliant scholars, make no mistake about it. But when Paul is teaching us and showing us these things that we, as we've been studying about friends and foes and the fellowship, as Paul warns the church at Philippi, that the latter end of chapter 2, he was telling us by example who our friends were and who our friends are. They are people that are committed to the Bible. They love God. They'll tell us the truth. They're honest people. They're co-laborers with us. They're soldiering on with us with Christ. And those examples were exemplified to us in the lives of men like Timothy. And last week you learned about Epaphroditus. And so as we come now to this portion of the argument of friends and foes in the fellowship in chapter 3, today we'll cover verses 1 to 3, and be aware, though, or be advised, as we are deeper into this chapter, there are continued exhortations and warnings. Philippians chapter 3, and when you begin to see what Paul is saying here, there's a wonderful, listen, powerful, but convicting truth that's revealed in front of us, and that is this. That true biblical joy, and I want to insert this, do you have that? Do you know what it is? Because every Christian is to possess it, but at times it's elusive. Why? True biblical joy is linked inseparably to orthodox, biblical, or scriptural doctrine, teaching in the Bible. Joy. Can't have joy unless you understand what the Bible says to you. And you can't separate the two. The unshakable, unchanging truth of God, His Bible, is doctrine, Bible doctrine. What do you know about Christ? What do you know about the Bible? What do you stand firm on? Should never be based on your interpretation of Scripture, of your view of it, your opinion of it. The Bible is alive. The Bible tells us that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible speaks to us. We do not speak to it. We let it talk to us. God's word is, in fact, alive. But listen, wherever there's truth, there will be enemies. This is always a shock, and yet it shouldn't be. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, we'll sneak ahead for a moment. Listen to this to set it up. Truth always has its enemies. In Philippians 3, 18, it says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping," wow, "that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame." How is that? Well, they set their mind on earthly things. What is that? The word means there that they are among you, friends, with the intent to acquire power or gain. Where do you find them? In a gathering of Christians. Paul said it is so dangerous. And he says, "I was so relentless in warning you that I even did it to the point of tears." The apostle cried with emotions, warning them about a severe biblical truth. And that is, among each of us as Christians, there's going to be those who infiltrate. It's a tremendous thing. One of the telltale signs of enemy presence is the lack of joy in our lives. I want that to sink in for a moment. It's convicting. One of the telltale evidences of an enemy making his way into our lives is the lack of joy. Because listen, if we do not understand the Bible correctly, we cannot have joy. Why do we not understand the Bible correctly? We get robbed by other opinions or by other teachings. John 15, verse 11, write it in your margins of Philippians 3. John 15, verse 11. John 15, 11 says, "These things Jesus said, I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you." Don't let it slip. Let it stay there. Hang on to it. "That your joy may be full." Chapter 16, verse 33 of John's gospel says, Jesus speaking again, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation or hardship, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Peace and cheer cannot be present without joy. Christian joy. It should not be elusive in our lives, but yet it is. My Christian joy, your Christian joy, I like what one commentator says, is measured out to us, better yet, harvested by us in direct correlation with our exposure that we give ourselves to the word or the doctrines of God. That's a great statement. Our level of joy is metered out to us or experienced, or we reap the joy in correlation to how much Bible is exposed to us. More Bible, more joy. Have you ever met some people in Christianity that just seem to be almost nuts with joy? It's almost as though they're out of touch with reality. They're almost too joyous. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. There are people who it's possible that are ignorantly, humanly speaking, joyful. Woo-hoo, wow, praise the Lord. Oh, your house is on fire. Oh, praise God. Okay, that's kind of weird. It's almost more, you know, like a happiness vibe than rather a joy vibe. But there are those people who have such a deep joy, and you know them, I know them, and they have this in common between those who I know and you know. They have gone through life's ringer and come out the other side knowing God never let them down, God never failed them, and they have joy because He has kept them all the way through it. And they know it. Nothing shakes them anymore. And so when something happens in life, they just don't seem to be worried. You think there's something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them. They have joy. They're not being ignorant and they're not being uninformed. They just know. And in our culture today, I read this recently, the United States, the average American is the most medicated person on earth. Did you know that? Is America joyful? Is America calm and comfortable? Apparently not, which is why we have to be so medicated. The truth of the matter is joy is what we need to have. So as we look to this today, follow with me. Chapter 3, verse 1, Paul begins there by saying, finally, my brethren. He says, finally, my brethren, but he goes on for two more chapters. I like him. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Verse 2, beware of dogs. He's not a cat man. He's saying, beware of dogs. This is brilliant. Watch. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Number one, mark it down if you would. Friends and foes in the fellowship, number one is this. It's combat faith will become your reality. I actually said number one. It's really number three in the series, but it's our one and only point for today. And in the series of these last few weeks, this is the third installment, combat faith. You say, combat faith? Yep, combat faith. Go to war kind of faith? Combat faith will become your reality. Listen, I have to ask you, I always do this, but I'm gonna ask you intentionally right now. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. You and I will not escape. In fact, we don't want to escape. We don't need to escape. Every one of us will encounter, as the days continue, more of combat faith. That is a faith that is active and at war in this culture that you and I live in. We are at war against spiritual hosts of wickedness, says the Bible. And we're talking about combat faith. Friends and foes in the fellowship, combat faith. And what do I mean by combat faith? I mean this, mark it down. That according to Jesus Christ himself, this is the reality regarding combat faith. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Don't you think this is kind of strange? It's kind of strange if you don't understand combat faith. Jesus is commissioning his disciples and he's saying, I love you, heaven loves you, God loves you, you're my kids, you're my friends, and here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna send you out into a very hostile world as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpent and as harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils. They'll rip you off. They'll lie to you. They'll cheat to destroy your lives and scourge you. They'll beat you if they get a chance in their synagogues, places of religion, of legalism. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake. That means God's people are everywhere, and he has them everywhere. And this will happen as a testimony to them. And to the Gentiles, the unbelieving world. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Translation, Jesus is saying, you're going to be sent out for the next 2,000 years into a hostile world, and they're out to kill you, but don't worry, I'm going to use you, and I'm going to even bring you before kings. And you are going to be scourged by legalists. That's the reference to the synagogue. Legalists are going to come after you. But don't worry. Don't worry. You will be possessed by the Holy Spirit, and he will speak through you the words of my Father. Don't worry about it. Combat faith. God has called us to exhibit it, and it will be our reality in our lives more and more. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last days, some will turn away from the truth. They're going to give up. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. How do we ward that off? Combat faith. On your guard. Again, introduction, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter 2, 1. But there were also false prophets among the people. He's talking about days gone by, Old Testament period, talking about his day, and he's going to talk about our day. Even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Notice what they want to bring in, destructive heresies. You say, Jack, I thought this message was about joy. It's about joy in the face of enemies. You cannot experience true biblical Christianity without enemies being present. Does that shock you? It shouldn't. Jesus warns us. The apostles warn us. So what is this combat faith? What is it all about? Mark it down if you would. Number one, verse one, is combat faith is joy on alert. I like that. Joy on alert. Combat faith. What is it? Joy is to never depart from the believer. Why? I won't do this right now, but imagine my Bible is set on the ground and I stand in it or upon it. Imagine on my feet, as it were, there would be pages of the Bible. I'm saying that to you graphically, that whatever I'm standing on, it needs to be the Word of God, that my decision-making, my attitude, my purpose, my meaning is biblically based. And if that's true, I will have joy. It doesn't mean you and I are going to be perfect, but we will have an overriding joy because God blesses obedience. And when he blesses obedience, there is a joy to that. You can't buy it. You can't somehow make that happen. Obedience to God breeds joy. And didn't Jesus say, if you love me, keep my commandments? And his commandment is life. Joy on alert. Joy will be on alert in your life. Why? Because you don't want anyone to rob you of your joy. And so combat faith is a joyful faith. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Will you mark those four words? Rejoice in the Lord. Paul has been saying this. Now, listen, Paul has been saying this since he started this book. You're probably thinking, that's all I've been hearing about from you, is this word joy and rejoice. Well, I'm in good company today. He goes on to say, for me to write the same thing to you is not tedious. He said, Paul, you're just droning on about joy. And Paul says, I'm just getting started. This is sweet, though. Rejoice in the Lord. I mentioned it last week or a couple of weeks ago, and I'll say it again. You cannot succeed rejoicing in day-to-day situations. He doesn't say rejoice in friends. He doesn't say rejoice in anything else other than the Lord. When you and I are rejoicing in the things, or we think we're rejoicing in the things of life, boy, are they fleeting? Aren't they evaporating quickly? No, he says rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because it's unshakable, immovable. And listen, when you and I determine to rejoice in the Lord, this is no doubt a spiritual act. We choose to do it. It's amazing. We choose to do that. It's a spiritual act, and no matter what's going on in our lives, we can rejoice in the Lord. It's a choice you make. No, Pastor, I'm not going to buy that. I feel a little bit more in control if I'm worried about it. You know, that's why you do worry. Did you know that? Are you prone to worry? The reason why you're prone to worry is because you want to be in control. I love you, but I'm going to tell you straight up. People who worry are control freaks. That's why you worry. You say, yeah, but if I worry about it, I kind of feel like I've got something, you know, to say about the outcome. You don't. It's deception. I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you. It's deception. We feel like, and look, it's kind of like a Band-Aid. You know by now, if you're older than 10 years of age, you've been able to figure out now that worrying doesn't really get you anywhere. Have you noticed that 99%+ of the stuff you worry about, when it doesn't happen, you go, it didn't happen after all. Did you know that's still not good enough for you? You enjoy the worry process. You say, I did not enjoy the worry. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. It made you sick. You know, you're throwing up maybe, or you got ulcers from it. But listen, the truth is, you reveled in the fact that you thought you had some sort of control over it. You will never have. You may be going to heaven, and you may love Jesus, but here's the deal. You'll not have joy because you're still hanging on. You say, how in the world can this possibly be changed in my life? It is impossible for this to change in your life unless you decide today to rejoice in him. See, I don't know that. It's time to start. Amen. The next time you start to have anxiety rise, and Paul's going to address this in the fourth chapter. When anxiety begins to rise, you need to step back and say, Lord, give me a word. What verse, what chapter, what scripture applies to this situation? You need to start conditioning yourself to think like that. Because if you don't, you're going to have to reach for the pills. Because you won't find any joy, any peace, and you won't find it in a pill. When you understand, when we hang on to the fact that God's joy is available to every one of his children for the asking, you will harbor that joy in your life and you'll be on guard against anything that will want to rob you. And there are people that are out there to rob it. Our very existence is to be discovered in the rejoicing of the Lord. And apparently the author of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, deemed it needful for the church at Philippi to hear this from the Apostle Paul. Stop worrying about it. Rejoice in the Lord. And that's a tremendous thing. It's the Lord's will that you and I rejoice in him. But how do we do that? How do we do that? And I wrote down just here in my notes, I just simply said, here's an example for us. And I'm going to tell you right now, somebody give me a favorite verse of yours. We're going to do a little experiment right here, right now. Somebody quote to me right now a favorite verse of yours. What does Jeremiah, Peggy, what does Jeremiah 29:11 say? You can paraphrase it.
For I know the plans that I have for you, to give you a future and a hope and not to despair.
Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of a hope, of a future, to bring your life to full and to a complete end. Okay, watch this. Colossians good, but hang on, I can only do one at a time. But good. So what do we do? Watch this. Something's threatening my joy in the Lord, but I'm to rejoice in him. Lord, you said in your Bible that your thoughts toward me are for good. I am getting stressed out. This is not good. So you've got to make that determination. That is the starting to make the break with control. You said your thoughts toward me are good.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 3. Our hope is that you allow God's grace to empower your life, resist evil, and build in you a stronger faith. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, you know, the new year is right around the corner, and we're really excited to have you join us in going through the one-year Bible in 2023. Doesn't that sound great? Let's nourish our spiritual growth together as we divide God's Word into daily readings in as little as 15 minutes a day. As a church family, we'll explore the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Psalms, the Proverbs. And don't worry if you miss a day or two or three or even a week for that matter. Just begin again on the current day so that we're all on the same page. Begin this incredible journey with us by ordering the one-year Bible. We saw many awesome and challenging things happen in 2022, didn't we? God moved in miraculous ways, and we can look forward to the new year as we look to the scripture together in an unforgettable devotional experience.
Just know this, that when you sit down to your cup of coffee or your lunch or your dinner, and you open it up, just know that there are literally tens of thousands of believers that have joined you in that discovery that day. It's absolutely awesome.
The one-year Bible is available for purchase at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.